This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in here. Another Sharp Money. Week 17 in the books. Looking ahead to week number 18. Not as much on the line as we've seen in previous years, as we know the majority of the NFL playoff teams. But still a very fun week number 18. Always we'll have a preview for the Monday night game at the end of the podcast. But before we get into it, got to welcome my co-host here, Aaron Halterman. How is it going, buddy?
It is going good. Glad to be back with you for another episode. This will be my last. I think Patrick's coming back after this one, but it's good to be here with you. You know, we usually do the horse racing thing together, so it's nice to do a little football as well.
Yeah, it's a fun weekend to be doing football too, because we got more clarity into what to expect from both of the playoff pictures. Still don't know the number one seed in either division or either conference. We'll find that out in week number 18. Still two divisions yet to be decided. But before we get into all that, let's talk a little bit about what we saw over the weekend. We'll kick it off Saturday here. Texans and the Chargers. Texans win the game 20-16 as a dog, so they cover every number. Total goes under here. It was just a game that I felt like exposed both of these teams' weaknesses. The Chargers' offensive line just can't handle this type of pass rush. And the Texans' offense, it just isn't very good. And that's kind of why we got this game here. Two big explosives from the Texans early. Outside of that, they were a train wreck all day on the offensive side.
Well, look, I think they both have the same problem, and it's offensive line. I mean, the offensive lines, like you said, they cannot handle any kind of blitz, any kind of, you know, even four-man fronts. A lot of times, if it's a good front, they can't handle it. And it's going to hold both of them back, ultimately. I think they're good enough everywhere else. You know, I think when people look at the Texans, they quickly go, well, C.J. Stroud just wasn't as good as what we thought. It's like, yeah, I'm not sure if that's the case. I just don't think he's got any protection for the second straight year. And you kind of get what you get at that point. It makes it so hard to call plays when you can't protect the quarterback and you can't get a consistent run game established because of your offensive line. And like I said, it was two really good defenses here as well. It ended up being a slugfest, basically. And what happened, you laid it out, a couple big plays for the Texans. That's a difference in the game.
Yeah, I was on the under. I was not happy. There were 14 points on the board 5 minutes into this game, but the under was the right side. It just made it a little bit of a sweat considering what happened early in this game. A couple big missed kicks by Dicker, the kicker there for the Chargers, an extra point and a field goal, which was really the end up being the difference there as we ended up being decided by 4 points. Late game on Saturday, we had the Baltimore Ravens head into Green Bay and just blow the doors off the Packers in what was the backup bowl. Malik Willis throws for 288 yards for Green Bay. Wasn't nearly as enough as Derrick Henry rushes the ball 36 times for 216 yards, 4 touchdowns. The Ravens cover every number. Game goes way over the total. And it combined with a game that we'll talk about a little bit later, sets up a barn burner of a decider here in the AFC North as we've got Baltimore and Pittsburgh both still alive in the division heading into week 18.
It's amazing. Yeah, the Ravens were like, oh yeah, we've got this Derrick Henry guy. He's still a beast. He's a monster. And let's just hand it to him 36 times, Mike. It was incredible. I've always loved Derrick Henry. I love to watch him play. He just is an animal. It really is. Just a guy that really shouldn't be as fast for as how big he is. And he ran all over him. You said it, and that was it. I mean, that was the offense, basically. No Lamar, no problem. Just turn around and hand it to Henry. Look, Ravens stay alive. Like I said, I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second with what happened in Cleveland with Pittsburgh. But, you know, from the Packers side of things, how disappointing was this game? You know, look, yeah, backup quarterback, maybe if you lose a 20-17 type of game, you point to and go, hey, if Jordan Love was here, we would have won that game. I'm not that worried about it, but just got ran over and over and over in this game. I thought Malik Willis played really well, honestly. Not enough to match this offense. So very disappointing for the Packers. Kind of a no-show by the defense, obviously, at home. And the Ravens somehow, some way, continue to stay alive.
Yeah, this was a weird spot for the Packers. They clinched a playoff berth when the Lions lost on Thursday, and they are basically locked into the 7 no matter what happened in this game, what happened in this week or next week. And so you kind of saw immediately after the Lions lost, all of a sudden Love was announced out of this game. Not saying he would have played, but I'm just saying we might have had to wait a little bit longer to find that out had they not had the playoffs locked up. So I'm not shocked the effort that we got here, but at the same time, this is a Packers defense that we have seen struggled against the run the last few weeks. It's a Packers defense that's starting to have injuries build up. You kind of wonder how much more of this can they handle. It is a good situation for them to have this week 18 quote-unquote bye where they can just rest everybody, try and get healthy 1 week before they have to go in to take on whoever is going to be the two seed in the NFC because they are locked in to that seven position. We'll talk about the Steelers-Ravens here at the end because that's going to be one of the fascinating games on a week 18 slate. Starting on Sunday here, we've got the Cardinals taking on the Bengals in a game where I was a little upset we didn't get to 52 points. A mixed extra point cost me my 51.5 over. The game closed at 53. The Bengals cover every number, dominating this one and just jumping all over the Cardinals early.
Just kind of feels like this Cardinals team, they were kind of Johnny tryhards for a long time, and I think the tryhard has left. Finally, they finally just said the hell with the season, and who could blame it at 3-13 now after this loss? There's not a whole lot to talk about. The Bengals jumped on them. They're moving the ball really well. You know, 2 weeks in a row now after Burrow kind of had a little bit of what I would call an interesting post-game press conference. He's played really well. They haven't played teams that are very good, but it is nice to see him, if you're supporting the Bengals, go out and throw for 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. So not a lot to talk about. Nice win for the Bengals. Sorry about your over. That's a terrible beat.
Yeah, that missed extra point did not make me happy. Although I did have Bengals stack in fantasy, so it was fun to have Brown and T. Higgins and Burrow in the fantasy championship. That will be decided tonight, depending on what one Puka Nacua does, because I think every team who had Puka Nacua is probably in the championship tonight and they're needing some points from him. We'll take a step forward to the Steelers and the Browns. Browns win this game 13-6. This was one of those games that happened. It was a hideous watch. Aaron Rodgers was not good in this game. Shedeur Sanders had moments where he was fine, but there were other some situations where you're like, what are you doing throwing that football? Specifically the duck pick that he throws across his body. This was just a very, very ugly offensive game. I'm not sure why the Steelers didn't run the football more. They were having success on the ground. Warren averaged over 5 yards a carry. You saw Gainwell average 3.7. Overall, as a team, they averaged 5.5 on the ground. Rodgers threw the football 39 times. Just a very odd offensive structure against a Cleveland team that had been struggling to stop the run coming into this game.
Yeah, you hit all the points, and I didn't understand it either. I kept sitting there watching this game. You know, it hung at 10-6 for what felt like forever, Mike. And I kept thinking, get the ball, establish the run in the second half, and win the game. You know, I felt like that's what you needed to do. They were having trouble, you know, with the Browns pass rush. And look, a lot of teams do. The Browns play this type of game almost every week. It's usually low scoring. It's ugly. You're sitting there watching it going, why am I watching this game? It's so ugly. Great defensive team, just a team that's trying to find themselves offensively. They just controlled the Steelers from start to finish, you know, and it sets up a big game coming up. But yeah, I was with you. I was just shocked. It was like, where is the running game? You've got an immobile quarterback. Okay, take some pressure off him. Run the football. It just never happened. The Steelers just never could get it going. They're held to 6 points in a game where they could have clinched the division against the Browns, Mike. That's bad.
Yeah, it's not just you got held to 6 points. This was statistically basically a dead even game. And the Browns turned it over twice. Mm-hmm. That should be the flip. That should be the difference here. The Steelers had much better success on the ground. The Browns, much better success through the air. Those two turnovers should have been the difference. The Steelers just not able to really capitalize off of them. You mentioned that the 10-6 score, that was our halftime score. It was just ugly after that. I mean, the in the fourth quarter alone, the Steelers missed a field goal and had two turnovers on downs. One of those set up the field goal, and then they got the ball back, not able to move the football down the field. All of this means that the Steelers are going to be set up in a winner-take-all game against the Baltimore Ravens in Pittsburgh next week, week 18. We will talk about the line on this one when we move forward, but that, to me, is one of the more difficult games to set a line for, just because both of these teams are such an enigma in my mind right now. One team, not an enigma in my mind, the New Orleans Saints up 134-26. They actually got bet down to a dog in this game. That's right. They kicked at a +1 there. So New Orleans was your favorite, -1 here. Saints win the game, cover every number, including the 2.5s that they were favored by earlier in the week. This game flies over the total, putting up 60 total points. And Tyler Shuck, my boy, 333, 2 touchdowns. Let's get on the train for rookie of the year. Come on, baby. Let's go. One more game against Atlanta next week. What'd you make of the Saints and the Titans?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, first of all, who would have thought that we'd get this late in the season after how the Saints started? And you're like, hey, I think the Saints are a good bet this week. Not just, hey, I'm going to bet them because it's a football game and I want to bet them, but like, I'm excited to bet them. And, you know, I think we both kind of were. We were talking about it last Sunday, and they gave you some panicked moments. It wasn't pretty, but they got the job done, right? And really, once they got going in the second half, it kind of felt pretty good about it. So this was a pretty good football game, really. I think these two teams, Saints are getting better. The Titans aren't great, but they're trying still. So I like to see that. It was a pretty good game. Yeah, the Tyler Shuck thing is so interesting. And it's just an example of college football quarterback play doesn't always translate to the NFL, because this guy was a very average college quarterback at both schools he was at. And he's pretty darn good. Like, I'm here to say it. Like, if they would have started him to start the season, they might be 500, Mike. They might be right there, maybe with a chance to win a horrific division. So he's done a lot of good here for them. Let's see if he can continue. You know, you never know. I think Cam Ward, he's fine too. He's just on a terrible team. So I think there's upside with both these teams. I was impressed with that. The Saints got behind and then came back and won the game.
Yeah, they fumbled the ball at the 3, too, when they were trying to go up 27-26, and that was the moment where I lost faith, I'll be honest. That was the moment where I was like, nah, come on, everything else is going wrong. Why this, too? I thought Cam Ward was awesome in this game. Yeah. He made some plays that were just otherworldly. Now, one of them, like, probably the most impressive, like 4th and 10, where he scrambled out of everything and then throws the ball over to the side, but his knee is down as he is throwing the football, so they end up pulling it back. But he extended a lot of plays in a Saints pass rush that has consistently gotten better as the season's gone along and was all over him in this game. Saints, you mentioned that they could be in, like, they if they just start out a little better, they're going to finish the season 7-10. One game behind your division winner in the South. Like, that's some of the what could have been here. Shuck now 5 wins as your starter, solely takes this team over their win total in just your Shuck starts. So that tells you how well he has done for them. The Titans, look, they're dead team walking this year. We'll find out what they do in the offseason, see what happens there. A game between two teams that are not both dead here. The Jaguars knock off the Colts 23-17 in this spot. The Jacksonville Jaguars end up covering most numbers. This was as high as 6.5 earlier in the week. Dropped down, kicked off at Jags -3.5 in Las Vegas. So a lot of Colts money. A lot of people believe in old man Rivers. They end up getting let down. However, if you got the 6.5, you got home with the Colts. Jaguars kick a late field goal to make it from 3-6, which also mattered for a lot, including Matt Brown, my partner on Ready, Set, Bet, who had a lot of Jags at 5.5 and Jags at 4 and Jags at 3.5. So he was very excited when that went up and went through. I still don't know what to make of this Jags team. Matt loves them. I still don't trust them. I'm sure the actual ground is somewhere in the middle, but it's tough for me to get overly excited about their chances in the AFC.
Well, yeah, shout out Matt Brown, first of all, Samich, the head of Ready, Set, Bet, and what keeps that show going, as you know.
It's fair. It's fair.
the Jaguars, I would lean more towards Matt's line of thinking than yours, although I can't get all the way saying, I still can't do it, saying the Jaguars are legit, the Jaguars are for real. I don't think they're a fraud either. I think they're just a team that's kind of in the middle. I watched a good portion of this game, mainly because I wanted to get another look at the Jags, because as we get to week 17, week 18, I'm looking, okay, futures, who can I bet to, you know, win the conference or win the Super Bowl, obviously. And while I think you kind of look at this, if you didn't watch it and go, well, big deal, they beat the Colts 23-17. This was a great game. I thought the Colts played as hard as they could possibly play. Rivers, honestly, it is what it is, but he's not awful. Like, he made plays. He made them work for it. I was pretty impressed. That was a very good win for the Jags. It felt like another game where it's like, uh-oh, they're going to lose. Maybe they aren't that good, and they got it done. Like, I'm with you, though. I can't fully buy into it yet. This was a very, very nice win for them. And Trevor Lawrence, again, another pretty good game. He did have the pick, but he made plays when they needed to have it.
Yeah, that Lawrence INT kind of felt like it was setting the stage for the Jags to just, you know, choke it off again, right? Like, it just kind of felt like, oh, here we go. This is back to the old Jags. The fact that they don't, I think it definitely says something. It felt like they should have won this game by a lot more than just 6 points. Parker Washington, the go-to guy through the air again. That's 2 weeks in a row. I think we have to start really paying attention to him through the air and seeing if that's going to be a thing for this Jaguars team. It comes down to what you believe in this defense. Because defensive stat-wise, since week 10, they're a top-5 NFL defense. If you think this is a top-5 NFL defense in Jacksonville, they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. If you think they are a top 20 defense, which is more where I lean, versus top five, you think that they're kind of not someone you want to get involved with at the current price. And that really is what it comes down to, is the defensive side. And it's interesting because a lot of those defensive metrics early in the season were built around turnovers. They haven't been getting those same turnovers, but the metrics have improved. So it is like I'm at least a little more interested in Jacksonville than I was before. But they're going to be an interesting one to watch, as are the Patriots, who dominate the Jets, win 42-10. Drake May goes nuclear here, 19 for 21, 256 and five touchdowns. They scored a touchdown on all five first half possessions, went into the break up 35-3. This game was all but over, spread and total wise. Was this the Patriots are awesome or did the Jets stink?
I mean, it's a little bit of both, right? It's probably more specific to this game. The Jets are terrible and they've quit, right? I mean, that's a lot of it. But look, the Patriots, I don't care what NFL team you play. If you go and you just roll somebody, you're living right. You're playing well. You're in a really, really good spot. So you look at the Patriots now, 13-3. The Buffalo game, you know, I still don't know how they lost that one, right? They could easily be 14-2, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think they're going to get the number one seed. And look, it runs through New England, right? And we've seen over the years, this is a whole new team, but right, it's very tough to go into New England and win in the playoff time. So they're in a great spot. This was a game that very easily they could have went out and they win 20-10 and you go, oh, they were asleep, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, they went out. They took care of business. I like it. That shows me they're focused. Listen, I think they're the favorite right now. I really do. Got that home field. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, it's still Denver's to lose, I believe. I believe Denver has the inside track there on home field, but not the division. So if Denver wins out, they get home field advantage. The Patriots right now plus 370 in the AFC. We'll do a little conference talk when we get through everything here, because I do want to take I want to get your take on where you would spend some of your Aaron Halterman money there on both the NFC and the AFC. So speaking of the Patriots, they have to head to Miami next week, and the Dolphins played on Sunday. They actually played an important game. They beat the Buccaneers, so Miami moves to 7-9 with a 22-17 victory in a game where the Bucs felt like they had every opportunity to win, and Baker Mayfield just couldn't find a way to do it time and time again. Quinn Ewers was fine. I think he probably deserves a shot to at least see some starting gig. Maybe you get a rookie quarterback, and then you let Ewers out there, and then see how good he is next year. Maybe bring another quarterback in. Just a fascinating game to watch, because the Bucs are wildly more talented than Dolphins, and the Bucs just couldn't get out of their own way. They just couldn't find a way to consistently move the football. Bowles needs to go down there. That's an absolute train wreck. This offense, like, Baker's hurt, like injured hurt. He's probably going to have like four surgeries when we find out afterward. But here we are. We're going to see them in a meaningful game in Week 18. What did you make of this Dolphins-Bucs game?
You summed it up. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors, you know, for the Bucs. The offensive line couldn't do much. Baker, wildly inconsistent. You know, one play, he's throwing out a dime out there, and you're like, wow, okay, now we're getting going. In the next play, it's like that went right into the hands of the defense, you know. So it's been the story of the last 5 or 6 weeks. It's also kind of been a story of nothing can go right. It feels like for them, like it's whack-a-mole almost, right? Like where the offense gets going, but now the defense can't stop anybody. In this game, I thought the defense played pretty tough and the offense couldn't get out of their own way. Somehow, some way, they're going to be in a meaningful game. But yeah, it's just, you fix one problem, another problem comes up for the Bucs right now. And that's how it's been. A team that, look, at what, 8 weeks into the season, you're like, wow, they may be one of the top two or three seeds, Mayfield for the MVP, all this kind of stuff. And then all those close games that they won, now they're losing all of them. So sets up an interesting scenario. The Dolphins thing's interesting as well. You got to give McDaniels a lot of credit. I mean, they could have quit, but they're here at 7-9. They felt like a 2-14 type of team at one point.
Yeah, they did. And that to me is the biggest like turnaround here from a Miami perspective. The fact that I have to sweat my under 7.5 win total is wild. Like, they were awful at the start of the season, and this has been a team that's really rallied under Tua. You've seen this run game turn around, be able to play well. They got 83 yards out of Achan this week. I've just been a consistently good Miami Dolphins team the second half of this year, something I definitely did not expect. But we'll see what happens going up to the Patriots. I still like my under 7.5. We'll talk about that number as we get into next week's games. In the tank-off bowl here, the Giants and the Raiders. The Raiders win 34-10. Someone in Circa Survivor with $3 million equity on their entry went with the Giants in this game and got through. Just a heck of a call by that person, that group, whoever it was. Giants cover every number. This was one of those games where you kind of felt like the Raiders were just going to try and lose any way they could. We saw that with the transactions they made. Bowers, Crosby both moved to the IR before the game, and they just out-tanked the Giants here.
They did. They totally out-tanked the Giants. And if you watch this game, I feel sorry for you. It was not pretty to watch. If you're a Raiders fan, I really feel sorry for you because they have been I know they're not 0-16, but they felt like one of the worst teams I've ever watched the last 10 weeks of the season. They've just been horrific. They out-tanked them. Good on the Giants. You get a win. Now you're up to 3 wins. Bad news, though. You lost the first round draft or the first choice in the draft. But, at least you get to feel good about yourself.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see here. The Giants needed this first pick overall a lot less than the Raiders did. Everyone would like to have it. Let's be honest. Like the Giants, obviously, the fans out there are saying, well, we would have loved to trade it for picks, and we got our quarterback. But if you look at just where franchises are, the Giants have their quarterback. They have a number one wide receiver. They have a left tackle. They have defensive line depth. You have a running back you're excited about. There's so much more going on there. If you look at the Raiders, it's Bowers, and then there's Crosby, but you just pissed Crosby off because you told him he had to go on the IR when he didn't want to go on the IR. Like, we'll see how that works out. I don't know what I would just say if I'm Mendoza, I'm not too happy if I'm heading to that Raiders organization, which will probably have a new coach as well as quarterback heading into next year. The other late game, Eagles taking on the Bills here. Both 2-2, 11-5 teams. The Eagles get the win 13-12. This was interesting because the Bills opened pick. They closed -3. So depending on when you bet this game, a different team ended up covering or not covering the spread here. This came down to one play. There's a 2-point conversion by the Bills with 5 seconds left. Some people are like, well, why are you doing it? And they're doing it because they don't want to play overtime in this game. They don't want more plays to get more people hurt. Josh Allen, I think, missed the throw. I think it really is that simple. That's why they didn't win this game 14-13. But this was a kind of a fake football game. When I say that, like, it didn't feel like the Eagles wanted to be there. Felt like they were just kind of running through the motions. The play calling was very vanilla. This game didn't mean anything to them from a seeding perspective, and they had their starters out there. And the Bills just couldn't do anything against this defense, which was, again, phenomenal for the Eagles.
I think if the Eagles lose this game, you say all those things that you just said and you just move on and don't worry about it. To me, it just felt like this was set up. Yeah, maybe it didn't mean a whole lot to the Bills either, but they're at home. The weather's awful. It just felt like a game to me the Bills should win. And you're right. They were abysmal. Allen had a bad turnover early in the first half when they were moving the ball. And look, one score in this game could have flipped everything, could have flipped how the whole thing was playing. And he turns it over, a bad fumble. They couldn't move the ball. Their offensive line got destroyed up front by the Eagles, and I don't think that's a good sign whatsoever. The Eagles win the game. Jalen Hurts doesn't complete a pass in the second half, which kind of leads to what you're saying, pretty conservative play calling, and he just dropped back a lot of times and would not throw the ball and just ran out of the pocket. Yeah, you're right. Look, I think it's a home team. I would never go for two to try to win a game. I would tie and play overtime. However, I do understand what you're saying. They kind of just had that feeling, let's just get out of this game. And at the end of the day, I can't really criticize the decision to do it because the guy's breaking wide open. And Josh Allen absolutely misses the throw so bad that it looked like you and I may have thrown it, Mike. I mean, it was not even close. And you watch it again. It's a great route. He's wide open. It's just an easy pitch and catch. He didn't get the job done. So all in all, I don't know that just one single loss for the Bills makes you hit the panic button, but I do think you look at this and go, how far can these guys really go? Right. I don't know. I'm just not a big believer in the Bills.
Well, let's put it this way. I would not. You probably could have thrown that pass. I am significantly better throwing a football than you are. We've seen each other in action here. Let's not put me in the same bucket there as you. It was clearly Josh Allen's fault. I get what you're saying. This game did mean something to the Bills. They still could have won the division if somehow the Patriots lost against the Jets or the Dolphins. Now, the likelihood of that happening, pretty low. By the way, Josh Allen also was injured heading into this game with a foot injury that got re-injured during the game. Felt like you just do, like, you know what? If we lose and don't have to play Josh Allen next week, maybe that's the best result versus winning this week, winning next week, and still losing the division. So they get to rest up after this. To me, I'm not taking a ton out of this game. I shouldn't say that. I'm not taking a ton from the offenses out of this game. I'm going to tip my hat to this Philadelphia defense. And when we talk about the conferences, that is going to be something that we're going to have to address, because to me, that's a very interesting team inside the NFC. Two other teams that are going to be playoff bound for the NFC played on Sunday night and gave us a classic where I had the Bears plus 3.5. So I was not happy with how this ended. Bears and the Niners play. The Niners win 42-38. 49ers cover every numbers. This was 3.5 the majority of the week. 51.5 total goes way over as we get to 80 points in what was just a back and forth shootout the entire time. Look, the Niners are who we thought they were. They have absolutely no defense. They can score a lot of points. The Bears, they were supposed to have a little bit of defense, and they should be able to cut up this Niners defense. This is a fun football game. Just a lot of offense going back and forth, not great defense. Hard to take a ton away from it, except these are fun teams to play each other. I'm not sure either has that much success when you face a good defense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And the Niners specifically, I just kind of feel like they just could not – you know, they couldn't contain the Bears at all. And that was kind of, I thought, I came into this game and I bet the 49ers, but I was watching it. And the more I watched it, I thought, I think the Bears are the better team. It felt to me like, okay, we're going back and forth, but in the second half, I think the Bears will get a stop or two and win this game, because it felt like the Bears were just going up and down the field. No problem. I know the Niners were too, but it felt like it was getting a little bit harder for them. And then all of a sudden, there they go again, just on a great, you know, up and down the field. The last drive, they made some great plays on that drive, but so did the Bears coming back and just one play short. So I'm kind of with you. I think these are two teams that can win a game, maybe. I don't think either one of them are going to the Super Bowl, but it's interesting. The 49ers, they're in a great spot, right? they could still win the division. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they win next week. They are the number one seed in the NFC, and they play every game at home. By the way, the Super Bowl, if you haven't heard this yet, it's in San Francisco, so they would not have to travel for the rest of the season if they win next week against Seattle. Can I vent about something?
You can.
I freaking hate how conservative we see certain teams play now when there's 2 minutes left in a game and you need a touchdown to win. I was screaming at Ben Johnson. They get the ball with 2:15 and 3 timeouts. I understand. You don't want to leave a lot of time on the clock, because if you score a touchdown, they can send you to overtime to kick a field goal. Do you know what the most important thing is, though, Aaron? Scoring a touchdown.
Yes.
That's the most important thing, because if you don't score a touchdown, you lose 100% of the time. Pretty sure that's how that math works out. Mm-hmm. He runs the football on first down and then doesn't use a timeout, runs it down the 2-minute warning. So essentially, it says, screw you. 15 seconds. I don't care about you. You know when you would have cared about those 15 seconds, Aaron Halterman? When you were on the 4-yard line and you only got to run one play, because that would have been 2 more plays. That would have made you very much care about those 15 seconds. Yep. Runs the football again with 1:24 on the clock and then has to use a timeout. That was on 3rd and 4. There's just certain things where I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we making ourselves have to cut this knife absolutely perfectly?
Yeah.
You're trying to be the jockey who wins by a nose when it's more fun to win by a neck or a length. You don't have to time the closing ride perfectly. You don't have to score with 0 seconds on the clock. You have to score the touchdown. And the fact that, like, you see this every single week now, yeah, where these coaches are getting cuter and cuter, I just can't stand it. Just go score a touchdown and then try and stop the field goal. It's fine if there's 20 seconds. You still have a huge edge, whereas you lose the game if you do not score.
It's funny, your betting dollar sometimes will tell you the answer to these situations, because I have the 49ers going, slow down, take your time. I like what you're doing here with the Bears. Don't get in too big of a hurry. And you're like, what are you doing? You got to speed up. So, yeah, I thought the same thing. I will say, I thought the hook and ladder call, the second to last play of the game, I thought for sure they were scoring on that play. I thought that was a beautiful play call. Now, to your point, it would have been more beautiful if there was 30 seconds on the clock and they could have ran more. But man, I thought, they executed that perfect. Give credit to San Francisco for being there and not sucking in on that all the way. But yeah, I'm with you. I thought the same thing. I thought, man, they're going to cut this really close. But the flip side of it is, if they complete the last play of the game, then you're like, well, that was perfect, you know. So, but yeah, I'm with you. The most important thing is you got to score. And look, I, with the new kickoff rules and where they get the ball, you know, if you leave a team 20, 30 seconds, you really are in trouble now, mm-hmm, in the NFL. So I can see both sides of it.
I mean, I can't. I would rather 100 out of 100 times, I would like to score the touchdown and then try and stop someone from kicking a field goal. I'm just going to say, like, I'd like to have the lead again in the football game. I don't want to lose. Like, it's very granular here. It's A or B. Either you get ahead again or you don't. And if you run out of time, you do not take the lead again. I hated the hook and ladder call. Because it was 21 seconds left in the game.
I know.
It took them 18 seconds to run that play.
I think they thought they were scoring on it, though. I thought that I think they had that schemed up, you know.
Look, hook and ladder is great when you're facing a man-to-man team. They were running zone defenses almost like the whole way down the field. If you go watch that play, when Swift gets it, there's three dudes who are standing in their zone just waiting for him to run into them. Like, it doesn't work against zone.
Well, they thought they might suck in to tackle, you know, to make that tackle and everybody would converge and then they could go around. I mean, it was a good call. I'm not going to say it's a bad call.
If he had not lateraled the ball and got down on the ground, they would have been able to run two plays instead of one. I'm just saying the plays matter more than the extra 6 yards you got because it looked cool. Okay. That wraps up. Week number 17 on Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk about the Monday night game coming up here. But before we do that, I want to make sure we mention the VP New Year special that we're running over at VSIN. Right now, you can start off your new year as a better with a VSIN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSIN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools for both the NFL and NBA, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the college football playoffs to the NFL playoffs to March Madness, the Masters, the Kentucky Derby, and more. Plus, you'll receive the college football betting guide complete with expert brackets, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, CFP, and bowl best bets, as well as previews for every bowl game. And yes, there are still a bunch of them to go. I'm actually watching them right now. Start your new year with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe and check out the offers today. All right, Mr. Halterman. Let's take a peek forward here. Let's rip through some openers for next week. We've got the Times, which I'm excited about. Always interesting to see how they decide to slate these games. We'll start out on Saturday. The Carolina Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in our early game on Saturday. 1:30 kickoff on the West Coast, 4:30 on the East Coast, and the Buccaneers have been installed as 2.5-point favorites, juiced minus 15 pretty much everywhere. Total anywhere from 43.5 to 45.5. Anything gets you excited here in the Panthers and the Bucs?
You see me shaking my head. I don't know what to do with this game. I really want to play it because it's a standalone game at 3:30 on a Saturday. It's a huge game. So I am motivated to play it. I just feel like I'm stupid to say I'm going to take the Buccaneers after all this. But the other side of it is, boy, the Panthers have had a lot of chances too, right? And haven't been able to do it. I lean the Bucs, Mike, but I don't like it.
I can't as a favorite. It has to be the Panthers. And if I can get a three, give me the three. The last eight games for the Bucs: lost to the Patriots, lost to the Bills, lost to the Rams, beat the Cardinals 20-17, lost to the Saints, lost to the Falcons, lost to the Panthers, lost to the Dolphins. Why am I going to believe that they're going to cover in this next? Like, I just, it's Panthers plus three if I can get it. We'll see if I ever get it. If I don't, then I'm with you. I'm probably trying to find some prop here because I think the total is correct. And I'm not laying it with the Bucks. No thanks. If you want to tease the Panthers, that would be the other thing. You take the Panthers up to 8.5. I don't mind that either. Since we're sitting there at 2.5, the Saturday night game, an absolute banger for the number one seed in the NFC. The Seattle Seahawks will go into San Francisco and take on the 49ers, where the Seattle Seahawks have been stalled as a 1-point favorite, total sitting at 49 here. Aaron, what do you got?
I'm taking the Seahawks in this game. I think they're the more complete team. I know it's in San Francisco. I know that's not an easy place to go win. I think Seattle does it. Give me the Seahawks.
I agree with you, but this is going to be scary because Seattle cannot play with their food. They cannot play 10 minutes of good offense. They need to play an entire game of good offense if they expect to be able to win here. So I hope that's what we get from Seattle, but I do lean toward the Seahawks side. Not what I'm running to bet, but something I do think is the correct side. Starting out on Sunday here, we've got the Green Bay Packers, who are locked in to the 7 seed, taking on the Minnesota Vikings, who have nothing but pride to play for. The Vikings, a 6 to 7-point favorite, depending on where you shop. Total anywhere from 36.5 to 37.5 in this spot. Aaron, what are you doing with the dead? said Vikings against the not going to play anybody Packers.
I'm taking the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings minus the 6.5 here. You said they're playing for pride. Tell you what, this damn Vikings team has been pretty prideful, right? They have stayed with it. They played pretty hard last week to beat the Lions. Give me the Vikings.
Six available at South Point, Caesars, and Circa. If you have any of those, I would jump on the six with the Vikings. I agree with Halterman. I think this is going to be a dead man walking game for the Packers. I expect it's going to be Toon as well as the starter. You're not going to get Malik Willis. I think you're going to get the third string here because of the injury issues that we've seen from the Packers. The Houston Texans will be hosting the Indianapolis Colts. The Texans laying 10 across the board. Total here sitting at 40. Doesn't seem like it's going to be Phillip Rivers. I think we're going to have Riley Leonard in this spot, and the Texans do have something to play for. If they win and Jacksonville loses, they win the division. What do you like here?
I don't like anything here because 10 points is a lot with the Texans, and I know the Colts may come in here and you pack it in, but boy, 10 points is a lot with the Texans in that offense. I'm staying away from this one. I think under 40.5 is very possible in this game, but still, I don't know if I want to jump on that one either, so I don't have a strong opinion here.
Yeah, it'd be under a pass for me. There's a 40.5 at DraftKings. It's the only one on the board. It'll be under a pass for me here in this spot. I agree with you on the 10. I don't want to lay it here, but I am worried that the under could get in trouble because of Riley Leonard interceptions. I'm not running to the window to play the under in this spot. Dolphins taking on the Patriots. Pats minus 10 to minus 11.5, depending on where you want to shop here. 40.5 your total in this game. Patriots need to win the division and possibly the one seed.
Yeah, I think it's Patriots or pass here. I don't know that I would want to play the Dolphins. This seems like a spot where the Patriots will be ready to rock and roll. 11.5 is a lot. I think I would take the Patriots in this one, though. Dolphins have had a nice little comeback. I don't think it's really competitive, though. Give me the Patriots minus 11.5.
You know, I think that I am going to probably be Dolphins or pass here. Because the Patriots have won the East. They can win the AFC if they win and the Denver loses. So they still have something to play for here, but I still kind of like what we've seen from Miami, and I'm wondering if the cold problem was a Tua problem or if it was a Miami Dolphins problem. So it's going to be interesting to see Miami up there in the cold as well. All right, Raiders taking on the Chiefs here. The Raiders at home, if they lose, they get the number one pick in the NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs are laying 5.5 to 6 points next week. All right. What do you like here?
I don't think I'll turn this game on, Mike. Yeah. I'm not watching this game. I'm not betting this game. I do think, you know, for those of you that want an opinion, I think that the Chiefs, believe it or not, that's probably the side to be on. Because while the Chiefs they're a disaster, right? The Raiders are trying to actively lose. So I would take the Chiefs, but I don't think this is one you need to mess with.
How Raiders would it be if they won this game?
Oh, God.
If they went through everything last week and then they win this week and completely blow it. It was Chiefs or pass, but I'm not going to bet this. Not at this current number. I would probably need 7.5 to be interested in the Raiders. I don't think we're ever going to get there. Please don't ever get their number so that I don't have to even think about it. Detroit Lions, who very much need to lose this week, taking on the Chicago Bears, who doesn't really matter what they're going to do here. They're pretty locked in. Bears minus 2.5 here against the Lions, total sitting at 50.5. If the Lions lose, they will get a fourth place schedule. Why does that matter? The fourth place schedule gets to face the New York Giants, the New Orleans Saints, and the Arizona Cardinals next year. A third place schedule gets you a date with the Washington Commanders, Atlanta Falcons, and Los Angeles Rams next year. So significantly easier if you're sitting in that third place spot there. Bears, they can win for the two seed, so they do want to win instead and hold off the Eagles, but not a huge difference between the two or the three there. What do you make here of the Bears and the Lions?
I'm all over the Bears. I'm all over the Bears in this one. I think they will come out and play a good game. Like you said, a little bit of motivation there for the Bears, none for the Lions. And the Lions, they kind of look like they packed it in against the Vikings last week. That did not look good at all. I can't see them getting up, getting ready for this game, so give me the Bears.
I agree with you. Bears are pass here. Goff outside, Goff cold. We've heard those stories before. Looks like we're going to see them again here. Buffalo Bills in a meaningless game for them, taking on the New York Jets here. Bills laying anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5 at home. Total sitting at 39.5. It would be teaser or nothing for me here. I don't want to lay that many for any game that doesn't matter, but I do think the Bills probably win the football game.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't see how the Jets are going to show up and really be, you know, prideful or really care after what we've seen. I don't know, maybe go over the 39.5. The Jets have been giving up a lot of points. Maybe that's a play. I don't really want to side. And honestly, probably won't bet much on this game. It's just one of those things. It's like, okay, who's going to care just a little bit more? Okay, let's go with them. I don't know. That's not a good setup for me.
I don't hate the overlook there. The Bills defense isn't great when they have their starters out there. We'll see who's ending up playing out there. All right, the game of Sunday, one of the better games on Sunday here. We've got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. This opened 3, and it's been all Ravens money since this opened. We are now sitting at 3.5, total sitting anywhere from 41 to 41.5. What say you? Who wins the AFC North?
Boy, this is a lot like, you know, the game we talked about in the NFC between Tampa and the Panthers, of just like, God, who's going to get out of their own way? It felt like all year the Ravens were the best team in this division. They just needed to get healthy. And then they kind of got healthy and they weren't the best team. They got beat by the Steelers on their home field. However, there were some weird things that happened in that game. You know, was it a touchdown? Was it not a touchdown late in the game for the touchdown pass there for the Ravens? You know, Steelers got the benefit of the doubt. I think I trust the Steelers a little more as a home dog. Give me the Steelers, Mike.
Yeah, the hook matters.
Yeah.
At 3, I'd probably pass, and at 3.5, it's Pittsburgh or pass. It's a situation where, look, I get it. Lamar's coming back. We're expecting Lamar and Watt back. We should start out with that as well. Lamar will play. He had a back contusion. He's got a bunch of injuries, but the back contusion is the newest one. TJ Watt is expected to be back for this game. No Metcalf, obviously, because of his suspension. And the Metcalf is a concern for me just because this offense looked atrocious last week. So I don't know where they're going to get the air game. Darnell Washington also got hurt in that game for them, which takes out another piece of the puzzle for them. I just don't trust this Ravens team. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, and I think the market has them overrated. I don't like Pittsburgh either, though. Like, this is a game, much like the Bucks-Panthers game, between two teams I don't like. Like, I would prefer not to bet because I think the market is high on both of them. But I would be Pittsburgh or pass here. But again, I'm not going to run to the window to get the 3.5 into my account here. Browns-Bengals, 7.5, pretty much everywhere. There is 1.7 at DraftKings. Total sitting at 44.5 or 45 in this spot. Any interest in this one?
No, I have no idea. If you told me the Browns won 34-10, I wouldn't be surprised. You told me the Bengals won 31-10, I wouldn't be surprised. I have no idea what will happen. I think the Browns will play hard, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah, maybe the over, just because the Bengals defense. But we saw the, you know, the Cardinals not move the football. Yeah, it's we'll have to reassess that one on Thursday show here. Cowboys Giants. Cowboys 5.5-point favorites head taking on the New York Giants in New York. Their total 52.5. I was really hoping this total would be like 2 points lower so I could bet the over. What say you, Aaron?
Am I dumb for wanting to play the Giants here? I kind of like the Giants plus 5.5 in this spot. I think they have a little bit of try to them, and I don't know what Dallas is going to show up and do. So I kind of like the Giants here.
I wouldn't talk you off it. It's one of those where it's like, I could see the logical argument for both sides. I will be interested to see keep an eye on this is week 18. It's harder to bet these early lines in my mind because we're going to find out people aren't going to play. Like, we'll see if Jackson Dart plays. Just saying. Right. Like, there's certain guys, you just don't know if they're going to end up suiting up there, despite the fact that we have not seen them on injury reports. That is one where I want to see who's playing for both the Cowboys and Giants because that game doesn't mean anything to either team. Commanders taking on the Eagles. Eagles installed anywhere from 8 to a 9-point favorite. Total sitting at 41.5. This is another teaser game in my mind. I like the Eagles on that front. No interest in laying 8.5, 9, though, in the full game.
No, me neither. I don't have a whole lot of things to say about this one. You just don't know the mindset of either team. So yeah, it's a total pass for me. 42.5 seems like that's about right on the total too. I don't have an over under really for you either.
Saints and the Falcons. Falcons installed as 2.5-point favorites at home over my New Orleans Saints. Total 43.5. Shocker. I like the Saints here. I will see if I can get a 3.
I was just going to say, do we go in on the Saints again? And I think the answer is what you just said. Yes, we're going to go in on the Saints once again here. They've been kind of the money team the last 2 or 3 weeks as far as gambling goes. So I'm with you. I would take the Saints here for sure.
I've bet the Saints 5 straight weeks. Why not make it six? Why not make it six? And I actually bet the Saints like four times early in the season. I don't know. Maybe I'm just high on the Saints team for some reason, but it's actually worked out fairly well so far. Cardinals taking on the Rams. Rams 9.5-point favorites. Total sitting at 47.5. Oh, man. Ooh, that total. Kind of want to play the over.
I think it's the play.
Yeah, 47 feels a little low, although we don't know. Like, this Rams game tonight obviously could change things depending on injuries, who's going to be in, who's going to be out, and how much this game matters for the Rams. So let's see what happens tonight and then look toward the over there if we get it. Chargers and the Broncos, game where if the Broncos win, they are your number one seed in the AFC. They are 7.5-point favorites at home, total sitting at 39.5 here. Do the Broncos take care of business, get the one seed?
I think they're going to take care of business. I don't know that I want to lay 7.5. That's kind of my thing with the gambling side of it. I do think the Broncos are going to win the game. You know, Chargers beat them earlier in the year, but this game really doesn't mean a whole lot for the Chargers. I would take the Broncos 7.5 if you asked me, hey, you have to make a play, I'd go Denver. I don't think I want to bet it. I don't think I want to bet the total either. 39.5 sounds about right. So kind of a stay away game for me. If you want to take the Broncos, I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, this is an interesting spot. We'll see if Herbert plays. He's got the broken hand on his non-throwing hand. There are three teams in the AFC with 11 wins right now. Your three wild cards are going to be 11-win teams, right? So they are still jockeying for position and playing anywhere from the 5 to the 7 seed. So I do think that these games are important for some of these teams. However, I don't know if we're, like, depending on what happens in some of the earlier games, what you get from these later games. Is there just two later games, that Cardinals-Rams game, and then this Broncos? I'm sorry, there's a group of later games, but this Broncos-Chargers game going to be one of the later games. Last game on the slate for us here, Titans and the Jaguars. Jaguars 12.5-point favorites, total sitting at 47.5-48. Jaguars need a win to win the division. What do you like, Aaron?
Yeah, give me the Jags. You know, I think the Titans will come in and give it a little bit of a fight. They'll score a few points, but I think the Jags are 12.5 points better. So, yeah, give me Jacksonville. I don't think they're going to choke this thing away. If they were, I think they would have done it earlier. Give me Jacksonville to cover here.
I'm going to wait and see if I can get 14.5 with the Titans. I want to get on the other side of two touchdowns, but yeah. If I can get there, I kind of like the Titans at 12.5, so I think I would bet the Titans at 14.5. We'll see if we ever get there. All right, let's close this out with the Rams and the Falcons tonight. Tonight's Monday night game. Right now, anywhere from 7 to 7.5. We're starting to see some of those sevens turn into 7.5s on the Rams. They are the favorite. The total sitting at 48.5 to 49.5, depending on where you shop. The market low at DraftKings at 48.5. South Point, the market high at 49.5. That's over at PlayMGM as well. So if you want the under, go check those out. What do you like in tonight's Monday Night Football game, Aaron?
I really like the Rams. If you can get -7, obviously, that's the play. It's 7 or 7.5. You get -7. I do like the Rams at that number. I also really like the over. 48.5 is what I saw it at before we got on the air. So if you can get that, obviously, that'd be great. I think it goes over. I think the Rams can score. And look, I think the Falcons offense has kind of found itself since Kirk Cousins have been in. Give me the Rams -7. Give me the over 48.5.
I think this game is properly priced at both the total and the side, so I'm not going to go crazy there. I am going to play two smaller props here. Give me Darnell Mooney over 25.5 receiving yards. He's at -109 right now on DraftKings. He is kind of the forgotten piece inside this offense. I do think the Falcons have to throw, and because of that, we're going to see them take some chances there to try and be able to get it done. I like Mumfield as well for the Rams, but his number last week was 8.5. His number this week is 25.5 or 23.5. That's a big adjustment. He's clearly the number two wide receiver as constructed on this Rams team. He's one of those that I'm interested in, but I'm not going to say go out and fire at. I have not bet it myself. I may bet it before game time, but I do like Mooney over 25.5 receiving yards for tonight for me. Do think the side and the total is pretty well priced for the most part here, Aaron.
Yeah, look, I kind of think the situation for me is this is a very important game for the Rams. I think they need to win it. I really think they're going to be able to move the ball at will against Atlanta, and that's why I don't mind laying the 7. I think the Rams are going to score points tonight. So, look, I will say that the Falcons have been better. They definitely have been a little bit better lately. They haven't been as getting our own way, so to speak, you know, as they were earlier in the season. So I think it'll be an entertaining game. But in the end, I do think the Rams pull away.
All right, we've got about a couple minutes left here. Want to talk about NFC and AFC conference futures. Right now in the NFC, Seattle plus 270 and the Rams plus 270. Then goes Niners plus 425, Eagles 5-1, Bears 9-1, Packers 10-1, Bucks 45-1, Panthers 80-1. I am surprised that the Eagles are your fourth choice right now, plus 500. I'm surprised the Rams and the Seahawks are the same price at plus 270. I think the Rams and the Eagles are the best two teams in the NFC, and I don't even have that much of a doubt when we get to playoff time at this point.
When you were reading them off, I kept thinking, okay, what are the Eagles? Because that's what I would bet. I don't love this Eagles team this year, to be quite honest, but I think 5-1 is a good price. And I also think, okay, we don't love the Eagles, let's say. Still, they're in a good spot. When they get to the playoffs, I think that team will gel together. We've seen them make a run before, and it's like, okay, can they beat Seattle? Yeah, I think they can. Will they beat the 49ers? I do. I think they'll run all over the 49ers. You know, can they beat the Rams? Hey, maybe, maybe not. We saw the game last year. It was a damn good game. It was a coin flip at the end. So, but if you're getting, you know, what did you say, like plus 270 versus 5-1,
yep,
you got to take the Eagles.
I would be surprised. There are warts with every one of these other teams. That, yeah, to me is the number one. Like the Seahawks, that offense, the fact that they play 10 minutes a game sometimes is a huge issue with me. Yep. The Niners defense is terrible. The Bears, they're not ready. The Packers are injured. The Bucks aren't going to do it. The Panthers aren't going to do it. To me, it's Rams or Eagles, and you just got to pick one. Over in the AFC, I will be very different. I think the AFC is wide open. Mm-hmm. Broncos 3-1, Patriots plus 370, Bills 5-1. Jags 5.5-1, Texans 6-1, Ravens 10-1, Chargers 11-1, Steelers 40-1. You could convince me five of those teams could win the AFC.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards the Patriots. I really do. I don't believe in Denver. I think when push comes to shove, they're going to win a game where they're going to need to score too many points. I just don't believe Bo Nix is going to be able to pull him through in a tight game. So I'm out on them. So then it becomes, okay, Patriots, I like them quite a bit. I do like the Texans. I do like the Chargers. I'm kind of out on the Bills a little bit. I just go back and I think, you know what? I think the Patriots plus 370 is not a bad price. I kind of think it's them. And I kind of think the Broncos could get beat early. And the Patriots could get that home game at the end for the AFC Championship. So I'm not a believer in the Broncos. I haven't been all year. Now I've lost a lot with that opinion. So put that out there. I'm just not a huge believer in the Broncos.
If I rank these teams as who I think the best teams are, it would be Bills, Patriots, Texans, Jags, Broncos. So that kind of tells you that I would not be betting the Broncos in this scenario because of just kind of how it sits. All right, for Aaron Halterman, you look like we wanted to say something. Go ahead.
No, I was just I didn't have anything to say. Well, right. Hold on, I do actually. Yeah. I thought about it.
Go ahead.
What was Jacksonville's price again?
Jacksonville plus 550 to win the AFC.
I can't do that. Okay, never mind.
You think it's too low?
It's too low. I would need like 8-1. And I know the record doesn't say that. And I know maybe the analytics doesn't say that, but I would need bigger than the 5.5. Because think about it. If I'm betting the team that won the Super Bowl last year at 5-1, I'm not betting Jacksonville at 5.5 on the other side. Like, this doesn't, that doesn't seem right to me.
The only difference to me is the AFC. There's a bunch of like good, but not great teams.
Yeah.
The NFC, I think there might be two very good teams. And there's just going to be coin flips in the AFC. You're going to get into situations where, like, will you be surprised if the Pats beat the Broncos? No. Will you be surprised if the Jags beat the Bills? No. Will you be surprised? Like, it's all of these games are going to be coin flips when we get there, and that's why I don't mind looking at some of those prices. Like, the Texans could easily win three in a row and win the AFC because their defense, which might be that good, might win three coin flips. That's to me the big part of that, that specific conference.
If it holds like it is right now, which it may not at all. Like right now, it would be the Pittsburgh or Baltimore taking on the Texans in the first round. Well, I think Texans are going to win that. So then the Texans would theoretically go to Denver. Well, I think they can beat Denver. You know what I mean? And so you're right. All of a sudden, it's flipped on its head. So I get what you're saying here. And like if it holds right now, Jacksonville and the Chargers in the first round. I mean, what is that? 2.5, 3 points, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, New England Buffalo.
Well, yeah,
we sure the Pats are getting by the Bills in round one, right? Yeah. Like that to me is like these are going to be coin flip games.
Fair
Every
enough.
Single AFC playoff game is going to be a coin flip game, except for the one which the Ravens or the Steelers are in. Right? That's the only one that's going to be a real spread. Everything else is going to be like, well, go ahead, who you like, you know, because yeah. It's that close, and every single wildcard team has 11 wins.
Yeah,
that's insane. You could have 10 wins and not make the playoffs in the AFC. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. All right,
theoretically, you could have 11 if they all win this week.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, they all could. You could have six 12 plus win teams in the AFC this year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then the Ravens make it at 8-9. 9-8. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. That's it for us here at Sharp Money. I'm Mike Samich. He is Aaron Halterman for Michael Cohen behind the glass, making sure everything goes out smoothly and on time. Appreciate you. We'll be back on Thursday for a midweek Sharp Money episode where we're going to talk about our best bets, sides, props, totals, everything over in the NFL. If you want to find more Sharp Money, make sure you head over to Apple or Spotify, subscribe, like, and review the podcast over there. We also have our own feed over on YouTube. Check out Sharp Money over on YouTube to catch the video if you want to see our smiling faces. We do appreciate it. Thank you very much, and good luck with all your bets.